morning, everybody. Welcome to our three ideas in 30 minutes, our favorite 30 minutes of the week as we prepare for an early Shabbos here in Boca Raton. Although I was looking at Shabbos starting times up in New York and Boston, and it is a lot earlier than it is here. I don't know how rabbis prepare drushas in such a short period of time on Friday. But we here, we don't have a care in the world. For the next 30 minutes, all we care about is developing meaningful ideas that we could share at our Shabbos tables, ideas to stimulate conversations over Shabbos. And here we go. As always, I want to thank our sponsors, or our sponsor for our class this morning, sponsored anonymously in memory of Teddy Kellen, Shimon Tuvia, Ben, Dov, Yehuda, Leib, Chaim. If anyone is interested in sponsoring a Three Ideas in the future, please be in touch with me. Please be in touch with Lee in the show office. Also, a housekeeping note, there will not be a Three Ideas next Friday, unfortunately, but we will continue on in 2 weeks' time. Okay, Parshas Vayigash, we are coming to the culmination of the story. You might notice my background, the story of Yosef in Mitzrayim. Yaakov, of course, comes down to Mitzrayim in this week's Parsha, and essentially, from now until Parshas Beshalach, is all about the story of Mitzrayim. The Jewish people come down in this week's Parsha. Next week's Parsha, Yaakov, of course, dies. It's the solidification of them in Mitzrayim. And of course, Parsha Shmos, Vayaka Melech Hadash, things are going to change very drastically for the Jewish people. On that note of coming down to Mitzrayim, the Pasuk says the following, all the way at the end of the Parsha, the last pasuk in the parsha, Vayeshev Yisrael Be'eretz Mitzrayim Be'eretz Goshen. Yaakov, the Jewish people, they settle in Mitzrayim, they settle in the land of Goshen. Vayeachazu ba, Vayifru Vayirbu mod. Vayeachazu ba. And, I don't know, achaz means to grab hold of. So if you look in Sefaria, which is what I'm reading right now, the translation, it says, and they acquired holdings in it. In other words, they became real estate developers. They didn't just settle in Goshen, but, you know, they cut deals. I got a deal. I don't do deals. People do deals, right? They got deals. I got me a deal, right? I wrote about in the weekly that a guy told me that my article a few weeks ago, when I wrote about minyan attendance and the benefits of minyan attendance, he said, Rabbi, you left off the most important part of why attending minyan is great. He said, do you know how many business deals I've made at minyan? So they made business deals. Vayechazuba, they had holdings in the land of Goshen. They didn't live like you're looking in the background, but they, you know, they were builders. They were doing business. Vayechazuba, vayifru, vayirbu ma'od. And of course, they became extremely fertile in the land. Idea number one comes from Rav Schwab, and it's a grammatical idea. So for those who have an aversion to grammar, like me, from high school, so we're not going to get too much in the weeds, but I am going to share the following very beautiful idea. Says Rav Schwab, the pasuk says, Vayeachazu. It does not say Vayochzu. Vayochzu would have implied that they grabbed. Vayeachazu implies that they were grabbed. So not that the Jewish people did the grabbing, but Vayeachazu, the way the pasuk phrases it, shows that it wasn't the Jewish people who were doing the grabbing, but it was someone was grabbing the Jewish people. What was grabbing the Jewish people, says Rav Schwab, in a very powerful language, Ve'akavana, she'aret lakach oza osam achuza, velo shehem achzu ba'aret. The land grabbed them. It's not that they grabbed the land. The land grabbed them. Vayeachazu ba is not as Sefaria translates it. It's not that they acquired holdings, says Rav Schwab. If that was the case, it would be Vayochzu ba, that they grabbed things. Vayeachazu ba means it was done to them. Again, without getting to the nitty-gritty of grammar. Vayeachazu ba means it was done to them. It means that the land grabbed them, not that they grabbed the land. He says, this is, of course, the idea. All the way at the beginning, it says, Lagur ba'aretz banu ki kaved harav, that at first they just come into the land. V'lo yardu lishtakea, says Rav Schwab. They didn't want to dwell in the land long term. They just wanted to wait it out 5 more years until the fast stopped. And once the fast stopped, they would return back to the land of Canaan. Therefore, he quotes the Medrash that says, Ve'aretz haisa ochezes bahem v'tofeses osam, that the land of Mitzrayim grabbed them, it sucked them in, it drew them in, it grabbed them. V'ilu hayu mevakshim lases misocham, and if they had wanted to leave the land, lo hayu yicholim. Right, when someone grabs you, when you're captured by something, when you're so enamored by something, so you can't simply break out of it. Lefichach, kasiv, vayeach hazuba, ka'adam shabal korcho ochezba, says the Medrash. The Medrash says that we were grabbed, we were prisoners in the land of Mitzrayim. What does it mean we were prisoners? It meant that we were so enamored by the land of Mitzrayim. We became so engrossed by its philosophy and its outlook that vayeach hazuba, it grabbed hold of us. We were unable to leave it, even if we wanted to. And therefore, says Rosh Schwab, this is the most unbelievable Musar Haskil for us in the diaspora. That for us in the diaspora, sometimes vayeach hazuba, the land in which we live, grabs us. What does it mean it grabs us? It means we become so tempted by all that the land has to offer. We become so enamored by everything that the land has to provide for us that we become grabbed by the land. We want to extract ourselves from it. We know it's the right thing, but yet we can't. Now we know, and I spoke about this a little bit at our Erev Shabbos Kollel, that the land of Mitzrayim was not simply a geographic location. It's not just that the land of Mitzrayim was problematic and Hashem wanted to take us physically out of the land of Mitzrayim. We know that the land of Mitzrayim represented something philosophically that was so counterintuitive, that was so antithetical to Torah Hashkafa, that Hashem said it's not just enough to physically remove you, but you can never return to Mitzrayim because Hashkafically it is so dangerous that it can't let you capture it. What was the Hashkafa of Mitzrayim? What was its philosophical outlook that made it so problematic? So as we discussed in previous classes, I discussed in the Kollel just now, that Mitzrayim represented a philosophy of belief in your own capabilities. Mitzrayim represented a philosophy of kochi va'otzim yadi asali asachai alazeh, that it's my power and my might that gives me success in this world, and therefore what do I need God for? So we have in Mitzrayim the Nile River. The Nile River gives me the belief that I'm going to have resources, and I'm going to have abundance, and I'm going to have bounty, and I'm going to have agriculture. Why? Because it's the Nile. So my head is always to the ground representing physicality. So what do I need God for? I have the Nile River. As the Navi says in Yechezkel, referencing Paro, Li Yeori Vani Asitini. Paro says, the Nile's mine, I made it. Because what Paro's really saying is, I'm in charge. Who needs anyone above? It's the Nile. It's when you look down, it's the physicality of this world, which ultimately is going to guarantee my success. Eretz Yisrael, therefore, is the foil to the land of Mitzrayim. Because Eretz Yisrael is an Eretz Asher Tamid Enei Eloshem El Kecha Ba. It's we look up, we rely on rain. Those learning Daf Yomi know how central and reliant we were on rain. Rain, we have to look up. It reminds us of our relationship with Hashem. And so says Rav Schwab, Vayeach HaZuba, that the land of Mitzrayim, the Hashkafa, it sucked us in. It grabbed hold of us, and it wouldn't let go. Listen to these words. Ha'aretz ha'isa ochezes ba'em. V'tofeses osam. The land grabbed them. We became so engrossed in the philosophy of Mitzrayim. We became so engrossed in the belief in my own capabilities that it was so dangerous because then you forget about Hashem. That's why, and again, we've referenced this in the past. Eilav arecha ve'eilav asusim. Right? Paro was reliant on his horses and chariots. The number of times in Bishalach that horses and chariots are referred to. But ve'anachnu, b'shem Hashem Elokecha nazkir. For us, it's about God. And so the land of Mitzrayim, a land of desire, a land of temptation, a land where I rely on my own capabilities and my own needs and my own desires and my own physical world. So that was ochezes osam. That grabbed hold of them. Vayeach hazuba. It's not that they grabbed the land like Sepharia translates, that they acquired holdings in it. No, says Rav Schwab. Then it would have been vayoch zuba. Vayeach hazuba means that the land grabbed hold of them. And therefore they couldn't get out of it. They couldn't escape it. That, of course, is a powerful lesson for each and every one of us as we live, of course, in the diaspora. Many of us live in the diaspora to reflect upon the role. How much does American culture grab hold of us, whether we want to believe it or not? How much have we been ensnared in the philosophy of the Western world to the exclusion of what Torah Judaism tells us that we should believe in and that we should subscribe to? Vayeach hazuba, such a powerful word from Schwab, that it's not that they grabbed the land, but that there's always the danger that the land is going to grab you. That is idea number one, a very beautiful idea. Idea number two comes from the beginning of the parsha. Yaakov Avinu is on his way down to Mitzrayim, and the pasuk tells us, Vayisa Yisrael v'chol asher lo, Vayavo Be'er Shava. So he's on his way, he comes to Be'er Sheva, Vayizbach Zvachim Lelohei Aviv Yitzchak, and he gives sacrifices to his father Yitzchak. Now we also spoke about this pasuk in the Friday Erev Shabbos Kol here at Boker Raton Synagogue, because this is the source of a discussion about whether you're obligated to honor your grandparents. Rashi points out, according to Medrash, that it says, Vayizbach Zvachim Lelohei Aviv Yitzchak, that he brought sacrifices to the God of Yitzchak, his father. Wait a second. Yaakov didn't just have Yitzchak as a father. He had a very prominent grandfather as well. Who was that? None other than Avram. So wouldn't you have said, the God of Yitzchak and the God of Avram? So based on that, Rashi says that a person's obligated to honor their father or mother more than their grandparents. And there's a whole discussion in halacha. Is it more than your grandparents? In other words, you're obligated to honor your grandparents, just not as much as your parents. Or is there no obligation to honor grandparents at all? It's a machlokas in the Ramah. The Ramah first quotes the opinion of the Ma'arik. The Ma'arik in the Tshuva is very strong language, where he said that there's no obligation to honor grandparents. The Ramah then says, V'li nira, it appears to me that there is an obligation to honor grandparents, just not as much as parents. So if a parent and a grandparent are in a room, your primary obligation is to your parent. But in a vacuum, if you're just standing there with your grandparents, says the Ramah, says Rabbi Akiva Eiger in his commentary on the Shulchan Aruch, of course you're obligated to honor grandparents. I, of course, said 100% you're obligated to honor grandparents, without a doubt. Anyways, that was the pasuk we discussed this morning. But the Ramban has a fascinating comment. It's an idea we've discussed in the past, and I'm purposely choosing to say the idea again because I want to show you. And some of the ideas that we talk about appear over and over again in different contexts. And I think that's a beautiful thing, not a bad thing. Says the Ramban, V'yamar ha-kasav, zvachim, what's a zevach, a korban zvachim? Le'odia shelo hayu olos ka'avosenu, ki avram olos hikriv. That up until this point, says the Ramban, all they brought was a korban ola. Now we have disagreed with it in the past, but for these purposes of reading the Ramban, that all they brought up until this point were korban olas. V'rabosenu omru, lo ikrivu b'nei Noach shlamim, olos ikrivu, that the children of Noach did not bring a korban shlamim. Rather, all they brought was a korban ola. Aval Yaakov, hikriv shlamim, lahashliv alav kol hamidos. Yaakov brought a korban shlamim, lahashliv alav kol hamidos, to fulfill all of the midos. What does that mean? Kemosha Darshu, as the Medrash says, shlamim shemetilim shalom ba'olam, that korban shlamim bring peace into this world. What in the world is going on here? That no one brought a korban ola, all they brought was korban shlamim. All of a sudden, they start bringing a korban shlamim. So we know, and we've discussed this in the past, that there is a difference between a korban ola and a korban shlamim. A korban ola is completely consumed on the Mizbeach. A korban ola, 100% of it is kodesh. Human beings do not benefit or participate any part of it. All it is it's given over to the Mizbeach. This is very relatable to the Umas Olam. This is very relatable to the nations of the world. They understand that notion of abstinence. They understand they don't get married, they practice abstinence, right? That to be holy means complete removal from the physical world. That you go up onto the mountaintop, you don't eat too much, you don't drink too much, you abstain from the pleasures of the world. That to them is the idea of Kedusha, and so they relate to the notion of an Ola. A Korban Ola means, I give everything over to Hashem, I don't enjoy, I don't benefit anything whatsoever for myself. Shlamim is the opposite. A Korban Shlamim, part of it is given over on the Mizbeach, but the other part of it is a barbecue. The other part of it, the Kohanim, are benefiting enormously from it. So says the Ramban, what does it mean that up until this point, all they brought was Korban Ola, and now that they're going down to Mitzrayim, Yaakov Avinu introduces us to that notion of a Shlamim. What is the Ramban teaching us? The Ramban is teaching us, I think, something so profound. that as Yaakov is leaving, quote unquote, the base medrash of Canaan, Yaakov is going from an insular community where he was protected, and now he's going to Mitzrayim. Now he's going to engage in the world. So now Yaakov has to learn this concept of a Korban Shlamim. Yaakov Avinu is going to be outside the four walls of the Beis HaMedrash. He's going to be engaged in Egyptian society. And you know what he's going to have to learn? How to exist in Olam Hazeh. How to be Mekadesh Olam Hazeh, to sanctify this world. Because he's not going to have the benefit of abstinence. He's not going to have the benefit of refraining. He's going to be in Mitzrayim. So how does a Jew go down to Mitzrayim and be successful? By learning that you don't reject everything, but rather what do? You learn to sanctify it. You learn to find the Kedusha in it. You learn to partner with Hashem in making it holy. That is what the Ramban is teaching us, is the message of the Korban Shlamim. So as opposed to an Ola, which Yaakov Avinu has had the benefit of enjoying up until this point, now that he's going down to Mitzrayim, he no longer has the benefit of enjoying. Now he's going to have to learn a new way of engaging the world, and that is not through the Korban Ola, but rather that is through the Korban Shlamim. That, I think, is dovetails beautifully off of idea number one. Idea number one was Vayeach HaZubah from Rav Schwab. You have to be careful that the land doesn't grab you. How do we do that? So I think it's idea number two, which is the Ramban. The Ramban says the way that we do that is by not rejecting necessarily, but by looking for opportunities for holiness in it. It's not the model of the Ola, but rather it's the model of the Shlamim. That as we're emerging from the quote-unquote ghetto, as we're emerging from the insular, cocoon-like existence, and we're engaging into the world, so now we have to figure out, how do I find Kedusha in that world? How do I find Kedusha in my workplace? How do I find Kedusha at Publix? How do I find Kedusha at the gym? How do I find Kedusha in my interactions with the world around me? That was the Nisayon of Yaakov Avinu as he's going down to Mitzrayim. That's the lesson that he teaches the people coming down with him. Not to reject, but to find the Kedusha. Not the Korban Ola anymore, but rather the Korban Shlamim. I saw a very beautiful idea that this is the understanding of the Pasuk in Shir HaShirim. Pasuk in Shir HaShirim, Perek Dalet, Tes Zayin says, Uri Tzafon Uva'i Teiman. Pasuk says, wake up those in the north and come to the south. What is it talking about? The Gemara says that the north, the northern part of the Beis HaMikdash, that's the part of the Beis HaMikdash that a non-Jew is entitled to attend. And that's where the non-Jews brought their Korban Ola. Korban Ola was brought in the Tzafon. You look in the Korbanos in the morning that most people skip over. So the Korban Ola was brought in the Tzafon. So Uri Tzafon, get up from the north, wake up those in the north. Uba'u Teiman. What's in the Teiman? What's in the southern part of the Beis HaMikdash? That is where they brought the Shlamim. Shechitasam b'kol makom ba'azar. They could bring the Shlamim anywhere. So Uri Tzafon, it's a call that the Jewish people should get up from the north, from the Ola, and they should Uvo'i Teiman. They should come to the part where the Shlamim is brought. In other words, Shlamim is unique to the Jewish people. Nations of the world, they understand the Korban Ola. But that notion of Shlamim, the notion of being Mekadesh the Chol, the notion of finding sanctity even in this world, is something that's unique to the Jewish people. And while we may take it for granted because we're so used to this idea, we should never for a minute pass over just how revolutionary this idea was. Where the Torah comes along and says, I want you to have delicious Shabbos meals of meat and bread and wine. And I want you to have Siddurim, Pesach Seders. And I want you to enjoy the world. But I want you to find holiness in it. That is the revolution of Judaism. It's something that we might not often enough take the time to fully appreciate. Idea number three comes from the Haftorah. Those who know me know that I love me some Haftorah. I love Haftorah. I always say it's chaval, those who go out to the Kiddush Club. Forget the Kiddush Club. They're missing out on the Haftorah. Such beautiful stuff in Haftorah. If you're ever going to stay in for Haftorah, this is the one to stay in. Navi Yechezkel tells us, Ve'ata ben Adam, describing the end of the days, Kach lecha eitz echad, uksov alav Yehuda, v'levnei Yisrael chaveirav, on one stick, you write Yehuda, u'lekach eitz echad, uksov alav al Yosef, eitz Ephraim, and on the other you do Yosef. Ve'karav osam echad, and you bring them together, And they're going to be one, and they're going to join together. This is obviously very famous. I'll give you a modern-day example. Rav Kook talks about this in his eulogy for Herzl, when he talks about the merging of Yosef and Yehuda, one representing taking care of us physically, one describing taking care of us spiritually. And Rav Kook describes beautifully how the early Zionists, who even though they were secular and non-religious, they prepared the Mashiach in a physical terms, they prepared the infrastructure of Eretz Yisrael, and then the religious people were going to come in at the end, and they were going to prepare spiritually for the Geula. That's based solely off of this idea in the Haftorah. But one thing I want to point out, and I saw this idea beautifully this year, is that we sometimes reduce this idea in the Haftorah to overly simplistic terms. And we essentially say, you know what this Haftorah is about? This Haftorah is about unity. Unity, that there's Yosef, there's Yehuda, they were disagreeing, and there's going to be a time when their sticks are going to come together. Beautiful, kumbaya, everyone be happy. But I saw an idea this year that we're actually not getting the full extent of what the Haftorah is about. And he suggested the following idea. I'm not sure this is what he's saying, but this is my interpretation of what he's saying. I have a friend who every time he quotes a source to me, I look it up. And then I call him back and I say, really? Is that really what you think the source is saying? He says, that's how I interpreted the source. That's what the source is saying. So this is how I interpret it. You'll take it or leave it. You'll share with me your feedback. That it's not just beautiful, kumbaya, everyone be happy. But we, of course, know that Yosef and Yehuda represent two different approaches, two different hashkafas. Now, what that is, it's not for now, it's a broader discussion. It's Rachel versus Leah, it's outward versus inward. There's an enormous amount written in Chassidus and Kabbalah about the difference between Yehuda and Yosef, the difference between Rachel and Leah. That is for a different time. What I think is beautiful is that when you talk about Vahayu Lachadim, that they're now going to be unified, what it's really saying is the following. That up until this point, we thought there was a Yosef and a Yehuda. We thought that there was a Yosef approach to life, there was a Yehuda approach to life, and I had to pick one. I'm a Yosef Jew, I'm a Yehuda Jew. In other words, we choose paths in life. And we say, this is who I am, this is my approach, this is my Ashkafa, this is my relationship with Judaism. But says the Navi Yechezkel, there's going to come a time when those are not going to be as separate and bifurcated as we might think, but rather v'karav osam echad el echad, but we're going to bring them together. V'hayu l'achadim b'yadecha really means that we're going to come to a realization that it's not either or, but it's this and. In other words, it's not Yosef or Yehuda, that I have my way and you have your way, and I stick in my lane and you stick in your lane, but rather v'hayu l'achadim Biadecha means that I'm going to come to realize that it's this and that. That I'm not relegated to one path in my Avodas Hashem, but I'll come to see that there can be multiple paths to Avodas Hashem. That I can find that diversity within myself to find other ways of approaching the Ribono Shel Olam. That I'm not going to be so rigid and stuck in my own philosophy and in my own approach, but I'll be open to recognizing that even I can find other paths into relating to Hashem. Now, for some, this can mean learning, right? I'll give you an easy example. Some people say, right, I relate to this type of Torah, I relate to that type of Torah, right? Mashiach's going to come when I realize that, you know what, there's a world of Torah out there. Maybe I can open my eyes to other paths of Torah. Right, I myself continue to challenge myself in this arena. I didn't grow up in a Hasidic background. I didn't come up where Hasidic Torah was second nature to me. I grew up in a different philosophy, a different hashkafa. But you know what I'm learning? That it's not this or that, but it could be this and. And there's a beauty in the Torah of Rabbi Soloveitchik, and there's a beauty in the Torah of Levi Yitzchak Miberdichev and the Chidushi Rim and the Sfas Emes. Right? I'm learning that it's not this or, but it's this and. Right? Think about how many people say, when they see someone practice Judaism a little bit differently, they say, ah, that's not me. That's not me. Right? I'm a this type of Jew. I'm a that type of Jew. That's not me. And all of a sudden, you come to the realization that we don't have to be so rigid. Rabbi Goldberg terms the Shara Kolel. We don't have to be so rigid. It doesn't have to be this or it's you or me, my approach or your approach, but it could be both of ours. And I can learn from you, and you can learn from me, and there are parts of your hashkafa that I can incorporate into myself, and there are parts of me that you can learn from for yourself, right? It's not this or, but it's this and. That is the achdus of Yemos HaMashiach. It's not just a kumbaya, we're all going to put our arms around each other, we're going to love each other. That's on the most simple level. But on a deeper level, what it means, v'ayu l'achadim be'adecha, means that we're going to learn to appreciate and tease out and benefit from everything and everyone around us. Obviously within the realm of Torah Hashkafa. I'm going to learn that I can learn things that are not necessarily in my comfort zone, but that there's an enormous amount of beauty and wisdom in there. I'm going to learn that even if you practice Judaism just a little bit differently than I do. So that's not a threat. It doesn't have to be me or you, but it could be me and you. And I can learn something from you, and you can learn something from me. And when that happens, that is the definition, that is the description of Yemos HaMashiach. Again, I'm not sure that's what it means, but I think that's what I saw. And I think it's a very beautiful idea. I welcome any of your feedback, rpm@brsonline.org. So we saw three what I think are magnificent ideas in this week's parsha. Idea number one was from Rav Schwab. Vayeachazu ba, says Rav Schwab, it's not that they acquired the land, like Safaria translation says, but rather vayeachazu ba means that the land grabbed them. We have to be so careful, so careful in our day and age, when definitions and distinctions are being blurred and pronouns are, we have to be so careful in not allowing the land to grab us, but maintaining our individuality, maintaining our autonomy, maintaining our ability to distinguish ourselves from what the world around us is telling us. Vayeachazuba, the problem with the Jewish people is that the land of Mitzrayim grabbed them. Idea number two came from Yaakov Avinu as he's heading down to Mitzrayim. The pasuk says, Vayizbach Zvachim, says the Ramban, that this is a Korban Ola. This is a Korban Shlamim. That up until this point, they had only been bringing Korban Ola. Now they're bringing Korban Shlamim. We asked on the Ramban, why now? Why now does Yaakov Avinu introduce the world to the Korban Shlamim? So we reminded ourselves that a Korban Ola, all to Hashem. A Korban Ola is abstinence. It's removing yourself from the world. A Korban Shlamim is involvement in the world, but being Mekadesh that, bringing sanctity to that, bringing holiness to my involvement in the world. Yaakov Avinu was telling the people descending to Mitzrayim that we're no longer in the cocoon, we're no longer in the bubble anymore, we're about to engage the world, we're about to be in Mitzrayim. We don't have the luxury of just sticking with the Korban Ola, but we have to find ourselves within the Korban Shlamim. That ultimately is the avoda of a Jew. The job of a Jew is to live a life of Korban Shlamim, to be in the physical world, but to be Mekadesh Hashem within that physical world. That is the nisayon, whether it's eating, sleeping, relationships, all of that is the test of a Jew. And idea number three that we saw is a really beautiful idea coming from the Navi Yechezkel, v'karav osam echad el echad, that Yosef and Yehuda are going to come together, le'etz echad, they're going to be one tree, v'ayu l'achadim be'yadecha, and there's going to be unity between them. So we suggested maybe it's not just overly simplistic unity in the way we understand it. Kumbaya, right? That's not what we're talking about. But rather we're talking about is an awareness that it's not Yosef or Yehuda. It's not you practice Judaism this way or that way, but it's an understanding that we can all learn from each other, and that I can learn from your Torah and you can learn from my Torah. I can learn from your base medrash and you can learn from my base medrash. I can learn from your approach and you can learn from my approach. And the more that we learn to do that, that is the definition of Yemos HaMashiach. So with that, I wish everyone a beautiful, meaningful, and inspirational Shabbos. Be'ezras Hashem, the prophecy of the Navi Yechezkel should come to fruition in our day and age. We should be zoche to be together in Eretz Yisrael, b'mheira b'yameinu. I wish everyone a beautiful and inspirational Shabbos.